ESPN 93.5, Sunny 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, we get with Brother Johnny, who is in New Orleans. Hey, Johnny.
Morning, Stevie.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy, Chicago, Illinois. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. Everything's great.
American Idol switching out their judges again. Johnny, you said it's all a show. Would not people watch if Mike Ditka were on the panel next year on American Idol?
Well, I don't know if Mike would want to do it, but of course, for sure.
I would tune in every night. I want to hear what he says. You'd be like Simon Cowell, Mike.
No. Don't go there, please.
All right, we begin with the Pacers and Heat.
I have a big voice in our locker room. I have a big voice on this team, and I sense what was going on with our team, you know, in the first half. And you know, before we took the floor in the third quarter, I just gave him a little piece of my mind, and a piece of my voice, and, you know, we was able to respond.
All right, so the Heat wins last night, up 3-2. Is it possible, Johnny, that LeBron James is Michael Jordan and Larry Bird the way he passes?
Well, he's in there with the best of the best. And that's one thing we like about sports, talking about who is the greatest of all time. Well, he's one of the greatest ever. And, you know, last game, Mike, when he fouled out, I guess when Joey Crawford fouled him out, I would say. Yeah. And by the way, the guy tripped over him, Stevie, and LeBron James fouled out of the last game.
Yeah.
If they start calling those fouls, I'm getting some high top Converse tennies and go down the Pelicans game with a T-shirt that says, "Look, Mom, I'm playing in the NBA," because there won't be anybody left on the bench after the first quarter.
Yeah.
But he walked out, and you could look at his face, and he just walked off. And I was thinking, wow, this could be extraordinarily bad, because his resolve in his eyes then was, if this guy puts in another game six of last year, if you remember the Celtics, Mike, when he dismantled the Celtics, and sure enough, last night he had a third quarter kind of like that.
Well, he's, you know, the conversation about the greatest ever is so stupid, though, really. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, we have a tendency to live in the present, because what we see now, we understand, we can see it, we can touch it. You can't go back and touch Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or some of those other guys, Jerry West. I mean, right now, what you're seeing is the only thing that we know, because we have no identity with the other stuff. So, you know, when you say the greatest, it's so stupid to me. He's one of the best athletes I've ever seen in any sport. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. Now, what's that mean? I don't know. He's bigger, stronger, faster. I know that. You know, I mean, that's what happened to the athletes today. They're getting that's the way they're getting, bigger, stronger, faster. So I guess in that sense, you would say, athletically, he may be the best I've ever seen. But, I mean, to say the best, I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I think people just like to talk about it. They like that.
Well, of course they do.
And it's just like, you know, talk about the best ever, Steve. The worst ever, poor old Joey Crawford, he called a time clock on a shot that hit the rim. You know, he didn't count a basket for the Pacers. And the Pacers went on and went. I'm talking about not last night, again the night before. And you think about these officials. But the worst ever, I wanted to talk about that call about the shot clock, because if the Pacers hadn't gone on to win, it might have gone down with Don Dinkinger, 1985 World Series. The Cards going to close it out, and he missed the call by about a step. The guy was out, and he calls him safe for the Royals.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals went on to lose that one. Maybe that was the worst ever call in sports, but I think that's what makes America intrigued. They want to see who's the best now. They want to talk about who is the best of all time. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, it's just
entertainment. Like, we like, that's a pastime we have.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, too. The other night in the hockey game, the Hawks scored, and they disallowed the goal because they said there was a fight behind it. The two guys, that had nothing to do with the process of what was going on with the puck moving and everything. That was behind the play. And it was a terrible call, and the official blew it. And they could have lost that hockey game, too, but they came back to one.
It's part of the sport. It's part of our pastime. And Steve, I enjoy talking about the best tight end of all time.
Oh, that's right. No, best tight end of all time, Mike Ditka. that's easy.
No. There's so many. I tell you what, this Gronkowski got all screwed up, didn't he? I mean, he is.
How many
surgeries? What a great football player. Now he's had, four arm surgery. So he's got to get his back done. And how about that down in New Orleans, John? They made Sean the highest paid coach in any sport.
How much is Sean Payton getting?
I don't know what.
I don't know, but it's a lot.
Wow.
Well, he was making 7.5.
What?
So,
yeah. That's he's getting more than John now.
Wow.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, I guess we appreciated him after not having a coach last year.
Yeah, you know, he deserves, God bless him. He deserves it. What a great coach. But, I mean, that I think it's just phenomenal. And I think that you learned that when you lose people like that, it is more about the players in some cases. You have to have a coach, a guy, or somebody to put things together and do the right things. And Sean is a great coach and a great example of that. And his players, they really respond to him and they love him. And I think that's terrific.
Wow, it's just a head shaker though. How high can it go? If Sean Payton was making 7.5 and he's making more, hey, you know it's going to raise the bar for all coaches.
I understand that, but also I would have thought if it was going to happen, it would be a different market than New Orleans.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. Although Tom's, I guess Vincent, of course, Mike, and I know Tom. I don't know, Mike. Maybe he's doing better than I thought. He's got the Pelicans now, which were the Hornets, changed the names to the New Orleans Pelicans, the NBA basketball team, and now and the Saints. He owns both.
Oh, wow.
Tom's a good man. I think that over the years, probably his business sense has got better and better and better, and he's very smart. He understands there's big money in sports in America.
Yeah. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN, the new Sunny 95.3. It's 7:40 on this Friday. Okay, Gordon G., the president of Ohio State, made these comments. Apparently, it was a few months ago, caught on tape by Associated Press. Not politically correct, certainly, but here's the president of Ohio State University, the buzz this morning in the sports world. Well, now I can't find the doggone thing, but he essentially came out.
But I mean, listen, how long ago was that he made the comment?
I think it was December.
Well, and did they sound like they were in jest? I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought he was trying to be comical. I think it was a very stupid comment. I really don't. I mean, even in humor, you don't find humor in some of those comments. I have to say that.
I got a mic. Here, listen. I got the comments here. The president of Ohio State University.
First of all, they're not very good partners. I'll just say that. I negotiated with them during my first term, and the fathers are holy on Sunday, and they're holy hell on the rest of the week. You just can't trust those damn Catholics on a Thursday or Friday. I think the presidents of the institutions are very clear that their number one criteria is to make certain that we have institutions of like-minded academic integrity. So you won't see us adding Louisville. Well, you tell the SEC when they can learn to read and write, then they can figure out what we're doing.
Okay, now what do you think based on the context?
Well, I think he was trying to be cute in the wrong way. I mean, he was just trying to if you're the president of a university, come on. You got to have more common sense than that. You don't want to make those kind of comments, whether they're in good jest or good humor or anything. It's a mistake. We all do it. And what he did is wrong.
Yeah, I think that's it, Mike. It's as the president of the university, definitely. You've got to maybe watch that. I think he was joking, and I see some of my best friends are Catholics, for crying out loud.
Exactly, but, right.
Reading and writing SEC, that's a little bit of a
And again, his position. I mean, you can say it at the Filer Tavern Friday night and have fun, but when you're the president of Ohio State, you don't say that, Mike. I can't believe he did it. I really can't.
No, I agree with you. It makes no sense. I mean, in humor or jest or whatever. I mean, you can't be talking about other universities or other conferences.
In SEC, we all heard those jokes. Tell me when they learn how to read and write, and I'll get back to you. And, of course, Louisville, they're not going to be at it. We want to keep the academic integrity. So he'll feel that. All right, we want to shift to the whole issues in Washington. Frank Luntz last night on Sean Hannity.
You've got a national security crisis, you've got a crisis of confidence in the tax-collecting body of America, and you've got fear that our First Amendment rights are under attack. When you combine all three, the American public is saying, enough is enough, let's get some accountability.
All right, let's talk about, we got Senator Mitch McConnell on Benghazi, you dialed this, let's take a look at it.
It's clear that there was inadequate security there, and it's very clear that it was inconvenient within 6 weeks of the election for the administration to, in effect, announce that it was a terrorist attack. I think that's worth examining. It is going to be examined. It's important when, you know, this is the first time we've had an ambassador killed in the line of duty since the late 70s.
Look at that, 88% Republican, but Democrat, very high.
Very high, and it's because this is a man who represented America, who was killed viciously. And that's where the American people don't understand why the White House doesn't welcome this investigation, doesn't encourage it. When you have someone who defends the country being hurt, it doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or Democrat. You want accountability. You want answers.
All right, so you got Benghazi, you got IRS, you got the whole First Amendment issues, you got Obamacare starting, you got 2,000 IRS agents being hired. Mike, where do we begin?
Well, you know, it's all starting to unravel a little bit now, and I think what they said, it's not about a Democratic-Republican thing. It's an American thing. Come on. And you know, you just can't let the FBI do what they're doing. You can't intimidate people. You can't intimidate that Tea Party people. I mean, come on, if this goes on, this is like Big Brother in the old George Orwell book. I mean, if that's what government's supposed to be, regulating everything else, but it's really... It looks like it's government out of control to me.
Well, and I think you're right, and there's lack of confidence. And it's interesting to me that the real nerve that's been hit is the IRS, Steve, because to me the Benghazi thing is just something that's intriguing and very disappointing to me. But it's the IRS scandal that's got everybody worried about. I guess we're afraid of those guys to start with. Probably don't like the IRS that much because we have to give them our hard-earned money. And now we think of them as maybe taking advantage of the position and overreaching. And the idea that they're going to have a bigger role in our lives through our health care just about caps it all. So I think when you have these scandals associated with that and then the others that take all credibility away, then I think you have a crisis. And I think it's a political problem
crises in government start from a lack of leadership or poor leadership.
Absolutely.
And I think that's basically what we're seeing. I mean, you talk about that now. You know, we talk about everybody rolled this thing into a big, this is the greatest thing under this Obamacare. Now it's starting to come to light what it really is all about and what the problems are, how much it's going to cost. It's ridiculous. And everything that was said, this, if you have health care, this will not affect your current health care.
Yeah.
It's all sham.
That's true.
Well, they're talking about a 400% increase for me next year.
He lied.
Well, I'm afraid that's true.
Yeah.
And
I'm just saying.
I think there's a lot of...
But I mean, if you want to be honest, you can beat it around the bush. You can say, you can't say it. He lied.
And listen, look at all the areas where we just haven't heard the truth. And I think that's what's... To me, that's really the big picture. It's just
John, the truth is what is convenient.
Right.
That's what the truth is to these people. It's what is convenient at the moment. And if you're feeling with the idea that the American people, they don't know it. They're too dumb to understand all this. So we're just going to tell them this, and they'll buy it. Well, eventually, they don't buy it.
I mean, but if you have, let me go back just a moment. If you have a guy in the Old West, used to be called a snake oil salesman, and they're touting a special ointment, and they don't really know what it does. They probably think it probably doesn't do much. Is it misleading, or are they lying? I mean, maybe the president had no idea what the ramifications was of 2,700 pages that nobody had read.
Well, and I agree with that. Okay, maybe that's a better way to put it.
They didn't know what was the result.
You can't sell that stuff then if you don't know what it's
going to
do.
They didn't know. They had no idea.
Well, but I'll tell you something, Steve. We want to be fair, but if you add it all up with all the crises and everything we've been talking about, there's been a lot of lying going on. And lying is when you don't tell the truth, when you say something that didn't happen because you want something to believe something that isn't so.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Right.
You can redefine it. You can say it's a spin,
right. Right.
But there's a lot of areas where that has been going on.
Well,
this guy, Jake Carney, you look at him, and I'll tell you what. the guy, I don't think he can have a straight answer in him. I don't
But he's a deer in a headlight, Sean. He mean he doesn't know what to say. How would you like to be in his position and try to defend this stuff?
Well, Eric Holder said, point blank, didn't know anything about these, you know, subpoenas and this investigation.
Yeah,
He signed the subpoena for James Rosen.
It's a lie.
That's a lie.
Listen, I have said that Eric Holder's corrupt, and I've said it more than a year ago.
Yeah, you did.
And I think he is. I just think he's actually, he's not a law-abiding citizen. He's a top cop. He's our number one law enforcement officer.
I think he's pretty stupid.
Yeah. Well, and at what point does the president finally say, this guy's hurting me, or will he stand by him?
Well, if he doesn't, it's really gave the administration a bad name now. But, I mean, can it bring the administration down? I doubt that. But it's going to be pretty interesting.
All right, we got Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny. Our break is late. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to wind up. Great having them on. Always great to get their perspective and take on the morning's issues. We're back with our final moments. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. We have a new national spelling bee champion, guys.
Canadal. K-N-A-I-D-E. L. Canadal.
Okay, I can see a young Mike Ditka in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania doing that.
First, I think you got to understand, what is it? What's a Canadal? But I saw that earlier, and that's very impressive. I mean, what, 13 years old?
13 years old.
Oh, my God. Well, and it's not like it's a big word. It's just a hard word because you have to have good pronunciation to understand what the letters are.
Well, that's fun, those spelling bees, and we used to have them. I mean, I remember being in spelling bees
How did we do? I don't remember anything past CAT. I just don't recall it.
I wasn't good at it, so I don't want to recall it.
I don't know how I would do in a spelling bee, but they're fun, and some of those.
John, you did well at one thing, M-O-N-E-Y.
And how about S-P-E-N-D-I-N-G-I-T, spending it.
Spending it, okay. All right, let me go to the woman, Arizona mom, released earlier this morning from Mexico jail. She and her husband coming back from a funeral from Mexico City on a bus. Military stops them, looks under her seat. There is 12 pounds of marijuana. She's arrested a week in jail.
It's not Mexico's fault. It's a few people who, did this to me.
The military guys apparently wanted $5,000, Johnny. Isn't it a little bit nervous time going to Mexico these days?
Well, I mean, it's scary. That story certainly is. And they were on the bus thinking, they're kind of flying under radar. But,
why would you want to go to Mexico?
Well, she had a funeral. There was a funeral. She's a U.S. citizen, but she's Hispanic. Her husband's American. They were the only two Americans on the bus. They emptied the bus, looked underneath. There's this elaborate hook system with all these packages of fancy duct tape marijuana. And they said, it's yours because it's your seat. And she's in jail a week. And they went to the video cameras. Believe it or not, they had video cameras. And they showed her coming on the bus with a purse. I mean, come on. So she spent a week in jail.
Of course, Mike, a lot of people go to Mexico. You got the Cancun side where, of course.
Yeah, I went to Cancun, and I still say I went there to speak. And I'm... Yeah, it's nice, but I mean, these people, they ought to be welcoming you into their country, and you go through their security, it's like, wow, what is this? This is, like, I don't know. I don't get it, I guess. Maybe that's me. And that's why I quit traveling.
Well, and they're having all manner of problems with the drugs, so it is concerning.
Yeah.
There's kidnapping in Mexico City that's pretty rampant.
Murder.
So you really do have to be careful going down there. We've been down there a number of times.
But you can't. It's not really safe anymore. I mean, you just can't. You can't do it. All right, last moment. Golf. They're playing at Jack's Course in Ohio. Have you played that course, Mike?
I played it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, so you tore it up.
No. I'm just telling you, 2 weeks ago, the rough was incredible. But I said this now about the course. I said, these guys are not going to hit a driver on a lot of holes. So, I mean, there's a lot of holes. It's all about placement, guys. I'm just telling you. I mean, they'll hit a 5-iron out there 220 yards around the corner, some of those dog legs. But, the greens were terrific. Pin placement has a lot to do with it. I thought they'd score well on it if they kept it in the fairway.
It's real tight then. Boy, those are scary
courses
for me. Well,
it's got some severe dog legs. You know, tight, yeah, because you have like maybe a little creek running down one side and then woods on the other. But, you know, it's mostly, I thought it was because of the severeness of some of the dog legs. And they weren't like you hit it. If you could hit a 220 around the corner of the dog leg, you know, from where I played it. Now, I didn't play it all the way back, but you would only have maybe an 8-iron in or something.
Well, let me just say, when Keegan Bradley plays a 580-yard par 5 with a driver and 6-iron.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Come on. That's Mike
Ditka. How far did he hit his drive?
350.
Okay.
That's Mike Ditka distance. Come on.
with my third shot.
Hey, guys, we'll call you Monday, but thanks as always. Always a great discussion.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. Appreciate their time Mondays and Fridays. Back again on Monday. Always great to get their perspective. Always great. Appreciate them. And thank you for listening and commenting when I'm out and around that you like the show.